Nebraska Public Power District versus Nebraska Public Power District. Justice Miller Lerman is recused from this matter. Mr. Davidson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Please the court, good morning. My name is Steve Davidson. I'm here with my co-counsel, David Levy, on behalf of the municipalities and rural public power district that are the plaintiffs in this action. The discount for renewing wholesale customers built into NPPD's wholesale rate in 2016 and 17 is discriminatory and unlawful because it violates the cardinal rule of public utility rate making.
How large is the discount?
3.7%.
Is that significant?
You bet. It caused my group of clients to pay $2.3 million each year, 2016 and 2017, that was not paid by the otherwise similarly situated wholesale customers that received the discount. It's a lot of money. And the result is that when that charge gets paid, what we're really talking about are ratepayers at the end of the day, the folks living in South Sioux City and Beatrice that have a 3.7% higher price for wholesale electricity than people in Kearney and Columbus do.
This is a discount from a rate increase, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
So there was a
3.7%
rate increase across the board.
There was a 3.7% increase based on a revenue requirement for this OPEB catch-up that was put into the calculation. So they added $25 million to their costs and said to pay those costs as calculated, we have to raise our rates by 3.7%.
To all wholesale providers? That's the rate increase.
That's the rate. But then the rate is accompanied by a discount made available only to those wholesale customers that elected to renew their relationship with NPPD for an additional 20 years.
So that expands the contract or the payout period.
NPPD would tell you that what all they're doing is spreading out the payment over decades, 16 more years. Rate discrimination doesn't allow that kind of, decade-long view of what's equal or fair.
What's your source for that proposition?
That's what a cost-based rate is all about. Both experts at this hearing who understand these concepts talk about a rate in any given year being the product of known and measurable costs that the utility knows it's going to incur in the year for which the rate is set.
I'd like you to be clear about that. When you say both experts, are you characterizing that as the testimony of NPPD's expert?
Absolutely. Mr. Mancinelli admitted when I asked him that question.
All right. I want to be clear about that.
You bet. So that the issue is that when the $25 million gets put in to the rate-setting process, it's what NPPD is essentially representing is that we need that cash from our wholesale customers who are paying rates to us this year to meet our costs. That's what a cost-based rate is about. And because of the discount, only 2.3 million dollars of that 25 that was budgeted was actually needed in that year. The rest of the money was not needed because it was borrowed. And it was borrowed such that there was no principal or interest due on that debt in 2016 or 2017. Typically you borrow money, you start paying it back, and the cost that's necessary to be recovered in the rate is the principal and interest due on that debt.
The $2.5 million to which you refer would be, I think, has been characterized as the pay-as-you-go cost.
Well, that's, the $2.5, that extra that was collected from the non-renewing customers in these 2 years, was characterized by NPPD as a catch-up expense. It's the amount of additional recovery for retiree health insurance that MPPD was essentially attempting to recover before my client's contracts expired.
Isn't that the $25 million amount?
That 25 is the full. The 2.5 I'm talking about is the portion of the 25 that MPPD actually sent a bill to the city of South Sioux City for and got paid in 2016 and 17, that the other 95% of their wholesale customer base has not paid in the year for which that cost component was built into the rate as a function of this is the cost we need to collect. And that's where the discrimination comes.
So is NPPD simply trying to recoup costs that they should have charged to your clients years ago?
Absolutely. The reason this even is an issue is because the contract that NPPD entered into with its wholesale customers back in 2002 has provisions that allow those customers to reduce their purchases down to 90% and ultimately leave and go buy power from a more competitive supplier, which is, in our case, what occurred. And all along those years and years of time, NPPD certainly could have said, you know, we think that's a risk that carries some monetary value with it. We're going to build our OPEB collections a little bit more so that if and when some part of our customer base leaves us, we will have collected those dollars. Now, you know, it's characterized by NPPD as our clients, you know, somehow shirking their responsibility of paying some cost allocable to them. Absolutely not the case. NPPD decides how much to charge, manages its costs, puts them in the rates, and all the customers do is pay whatever the charge is. And for NPPD to then come back and say, oh, we didn't collect enough because we didn't want to raise our rates more in prior years because we were already raising them 60% over 7 years for all these other problems we were having, to come back now and say, we need to accelerate this collection from you before you leave, sure. I think that's a legitimate business decision to make. The point of this appeal is that once you make that decision and say, we're going to accelerate our collection of this cost item, you have to collect it evenly from all of the wholesale customers who there's no question are being served on the same conditions of service, the general firm power service rate, at the same cost to NPPD. What the distinction they try and make here is to say there's a difference because the non-renewing customers' contracts now only last for 6 years. The renewing customers' contracts now add another 20 years onto that. So
aren't they alleging that they're collecting the same amount of money? It's just over a different period?
That's what they say, but how can you possibly reasonably predict future collections over the course of several decades? The contract that the renewing customers signed still has scenarios in it that would allow them to reduce their purchases and go buy power elsewhere. We don't even know who's going to be NPPD's customer in the year 2030. And if you don't know that, how can you today make any sort of reasonable prediction as to whether equal payment of this obligation is going to be made over the next 16 years? Purely speculative conclusion. And to say that you can premise a cost-based public utility rate on the basis of that kind of speculation, it is exactly the point, we think, of the discrimination statute, which says when you have one set of customers who receive the same type of electrical service at the same cost to the utility, you know, in other words, it doesn't change how much it costs NPPD to supply electricity to Sioux City versus Kearney, in 2016 because of the length of the future relationships. They acknowledge that does not change their cost to serve in the year at issue. And if it doesn't change their cost to serve...
In your brief, you seem to rely on the McGinley case. Am I wrong?
You bet.
Is there a difference in this case because these folks, customers here, are wholesale? McGinley, those folks were retail customers.
It's a factual difference that is without a distinction under the governing statute because the statute says that you can't discriminate. It doesn't say anything about you can discriminate if it's wholesale and you can't if it's retail. The same governing concept, which is you have to charge the same to those who are similarly situated, applies across the board, should apply across the board regardless of whether we're talking wholesale or retail. And the concepts that McGinley talks about in terms of why it's important to protect ratepayers from discriminatory rate setting apply generally to everyone that a public utility like NPPD provides service to, whether retail or wholesale. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Johnson, good morning to you.
It pleases the court. I'm Kyle Johnson, representing the Nebraska Public Power District, along with Corey Wasserberger and John McClure. We're requesting that the court affirm the arbitration panel, which consisted of retired judge Jeffrey Sabrant, Don Keating, and electric utility executive Rebecca Mullen. They found unanimously in favor on all issues.
How much deference are we supposed to give those folks?
In the event of a conflict, you can give deference to the fact that the arbitration panel made findings of fact. It's a trial de novo to you, both on the law and the facts. But you have cases that say that in the event of a conflict, you can consider the findings of the arbitration panel. This case involves something that's very unique, and that's other post-employment benefits. It's totally unique. For example, before 1993, NPPD gave their employees life insurance and health insurance, not just during employment, but post-employment. Not just to the employee, but also to the spouse. And that's other post-employment benefits. When those people retired, that is a liability that NPPD has to fulfill. And that's what this case is about. That's the only issue in the rate base about which complaint is made. It's 3.57% of the 2016 and 2017 rate that was charged. The rate that was charged to the 2016 customers and the 2002 customers, plaintiffs, was exactly the same. The only difference is in the collection. The 2002 customers who had 6 years left on their contract would pay it over in the year that it was incurred, the year it was in the rate base, 2016, 2017. We don't know what's going to happen the other 4 years of the contract.
To the extent that those parties exercise their rights to reduce their purchases during this remaining period of time, they wouldn't pay it at all.
They won't pay for the first 2 years. Those reductions don't go into place. So they will pay their proportionate share of the first 2 years. If $25,000 is put in the subsequent 4 years, they will not pay their proportionate share. And who's going to pay that proportionate share? It's going to be the 2016 customers, not the 2002 customers. And that's a shift. And that's not fair. And that's one of the reasons what was done is fair. It's fair to charge to those people that incurred the cost, all of the customers, wholesale, in the past. It's fair to charge them this liability that has no future value.
Is there some question here about when the cost was incurred?
No. These people have retired. The liability is fixed. It's a dead expense.
When the cost occurred to your customers, aren't you trying to make up for charges that you either should have or could have charged these folks for the last X number of years?
Could have. Between 2004 and 2016, NPPD did 9 actuarial studies to determine this liability. At first, they collected it by pay-as-you-go. As the people get the benefits, it's paid out of cash flow. They realized that wasn't going to be enough, so they increased it to $4 million a year, $4 million a year.
And it was also going to scare your customers to go somewhere else.
Sure. Hindsight's wonderful. They increased it to $10 million a year. That still didn't do it. In 2014, there was an actuarial study that determined it was about $155 million. They knew it was large. In 2002, that contract with the plaintiffs specifically recognized OPEB's a problem. We have to provide for it. OPEB can be put into the rate base. They agreed to that. And they agreed each time $4 million's put in, $10 million's put in. We still have $155 million left to go. Another study in 15, before the rate base was set, $148 million. So $150 million divided by the remaining 6 years is about 25 per year. We put it in the rate base, we charge it to everybody. It's an equal rate. The only difference is the collection. The people in the 2002 contract pay it up front immediately. Because these people signed the 2016 contract, 95% of the customers, they're bound now for 20 years. We know they'll be there. They can pay this over time. So the money was borrowed.
Can they reduce their purchases of the electricity?
Excuse me, sir?
Can they reduce the amount that they purchase over that term of the contract?
They don't have an automatic right like they did under the 2002.
So that's out.
The 2016 says if MPPD does not perform properly, they have a right to reduce.
It's actually an objective standard, 45%.
45% of a national standard. If we don't meet that, then they have the right to leave. But they don't have a unilateral right like they do in the current 2002 contract. The money was borrowed. It was borrowed not only principal, but also the accrued interest. So the plaintiffs will not pay any of the interest on the bonding. The bonding went into the irrevocable OPEB trust. It's a liability of NPPD. It has to be paid. The suggestion is maybe they won't pay it. Well, NPPD is going to pay it. And who's going to pay it? The 2016 customers. To the extent there's a shortage, because plaintiffs did not pay their full share, 2016 customers will pay it.
Can you go back on the plaintiffs who left?
No. Now, the answer is no. At the end of 2021, they've all given notice of termination of the contract. It had an automatic continuation provision. They've all said we're terminating. They've given this right to reduce, which it's their right. No problem at all with that. Most of them by the last year will be paying 10% of their normal 100% requirements. So 90% of that they're not going to be drawing or paying. And that's fair. That's what we agreed to. That's in that 2002 contract. Now, starting in 2022, the 2016 customers will pay up until 2031. They will pay those bonds off. The amount they will pay off is designed to be exactly what the plaintiffs will pay in the 2016 and 17 rates. $22.7 million was put into that trust for 16, 23 for 17. We don't know what's going to happen the last 4 years. Will it be $25 million a year for the next 4 years? There's an arbitrage situation set up in the borrowed money, which currently is working. 3.7% return is the calculation. It's been growing 8 for the good economy. And that will operate to the benefit of not only the 2002 customers, but also the 2016 customers.
Before your time expires, would you like to address the applicability, if at all, of the McGinley versus Wheatbelt case?
It's a retail case, and I agree with Mr. Davidson. It applies equally to wholesale. If you look at the statute, 7655, it says that the power district has a right and an obligation to assess and collect rates. And then it says which rates. It doesn't say which collections. They'll be fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory. There's a distinction between setting a rate and collecting a rate, first of all. In McGinley, the court said persons receiving similar service under similar conditions cannot be charged for such service in an arbitrary design to similar manner. That's the same basic language in the Erickson case, like circumstances. A 20-year contract for the 2016 customers is a different condition of service, and it justifies this discount. It's actually a deferral of the payment. Now, McGinley...
The McGinley case involved two classes of irrigation customers, the old irrigation customers and the new irrigation customers, right?
That's correct.
All right.
And in that case, too, they were getting exactly the same service, and they were getting, one was being charged 39 cents per unit, the other was being charged $5.03 per unit. And because they were assessing all of the cost of increased production into the people that came into the service at one time, it's truly arbitrary and unfair.
So this case appears to be considerably more complicated.
Oh, absolutely.
And are you not essentially asking this court or any court to be mathematicians, to be able to figure out whether, in fact, the people who signed up with you for the long term are being treated in a non-discriminatory manner as opposed to the people who have...
No, that issue is not before the court. It's the plaintiffs that have that issue.
It is, but ultimately...
goes both ways. It's true. And MPPD has to do its best to use its discretion to balance the equities, which they think they have done here, in a fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory manner. We've tried to be as equal in the amount that's charged as possible. The issue here, really, Mr. Davidson says it has to be all paid in the same year. It's not true. We have a 20-year contract, and we can defer payment because they're going to be around to pay for it. That's fair. That's a similar or a dissimilar condition that makes this treatment justified and fair and reasonable. We request you affirm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have any time for rebuttal? 30 seconds, Mr. Davidson.
You know, the problem is that it's always better to pay later than to pay now. It makes a difference. And if that's an advantage to one subset of otherwise similar customers and a disadvantage to others, that's exactly what this statute is there to prevent. The length of the remaining late relationship with NPPD's customers does not change their cost to serve in the year of the rate at issue. That ends this case.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. Court is adjourned and you are excused.
Give us some time, we'll get there.